This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
We got your favorite sports and we got your favorite team.
Big Red.
Go Cats.
Big Red.
Go Cats.
Way out in California, but we represent the scene.
Big Red.
Go Cats.
Big Red.
Go Cats.
Patso and Tweety are here to make some noise. We got a podcast. We're based in Cali and I'm Floyd. Big Red.
Go Cats.
Big Red.
Go Cats.
Big Red.
Go Cats.
Yeah.
Big Red.
Big Red.
Go.
Welcome to the Big Red Copcast. I'm Pat.
I'm Tweety.
I'm me.
No Joe, of which to plenty of people on our Twitter feed is...
We'll be stoked about.
Yeah, yeah. which, by the way, I do, even though I don't want to have political conversations on the Big Red Copcast, I totally get that critique. But I also think if you only come to us for football... I feel like you haven't been listening to the podcast for, you know, ever, because we don't, football is like 9% of our podcast.
Right. And also, like, I don't listen to any other Husker podcast. Like, literally, I listen to zero. I don't even listen to ours.
Not even when you edit it?
I mean, if how, I don't know, how deep do you think that edit goes?
I understand. I do it sometimes too, where it's like, okay, I know I have to listen for this one particular thing and I'm going to go find it and then we'll normalize it and put it up on the air.
Yeah. I edit as I go, like while we're doing it.
Yep. I hear you.
Yeah.
Behind the curtain, everyone.
Yeah.
We don't care.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They probably, my point is they probably talk about politics too. They probably talk about dumb shit too. They probably talk about their kids and, you know, you don't give a fuck about their kids, but everybody thinks you give a fuck about their kids because they're kids. I guarantee that shit comes up in every podcast. So if you don't like politics, fine, go listen to them talk about kids.
Yeah. Also, I don't think we're going to get into any of that today. We've got too many things. Yeah. And so there you go, guys. Before we get into Husker football, I got to ask a question. How bummed are you that there's no Nebraska ball game today, Tweety?
Yeah, bummed, dude. Actually,
yeah,
I was gonna watch it. I'm a little bummed out about it. Now I got to wait till what, Tuesday?
Is that when it is? I think that's when it is. I'm trying to remember who we've got. Georgia Tech in the Big Ten ACC crossover.
Mm-hmm.
So how you feeling about that Husker hoop season so far?
Dude, it's weird because I've only been the biggest Nebraska ball fan for about 7 years.
Yeah.
This is like the best, most exciting, coolest, like it seems like just a better team than I've ever seen before.
Yeah. And I mean, they're still kind of learning as they go. They still got maybe some post deficiencies. We'll see how that goes when they're playing Big Ten teams, but they're fun.
And they all have different hair.
You love that.
Yeah. None of it. Like nobody has the same haircut.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I am right. I spent a lot of time thinking about this.
You know what I love too? So Trey McGowan's, was a big time recruit. There's no guarantee otherwise normally that he would stick around for another year after the season. But his brother, who chose Nebraska because he wanted to play with his brother, it's almost a guarantee that Trey and Bryce will both be on the roster for at least 1 year together. I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And then you get the Japanese kid, who's a JUCO transfer, who can shoot threes lefty really well. And then you've got the goofy looking kid from California with the Wilhelm Breidenbach. They're only going to get better next year. I'm pretty pumped.
Do you think they make the tourney this year?
I mean, who knows what the tourney is even going to look like. They haven't even said how many teams it's going to be yet. But
every team
that's been a thing that's been thrown out as a possibility. Really? The idea of every team, there's been the idea of 128, 64, 32, 16, you name it. They've had just about every possibility thrown out. I think it's a team that has that real possibility. I mean, Fred Hoiberg is a damn good coach. I love listening to him talk because he seems to just absolutely get it.
Yeah, he doesn't he?
Yeah. There's a calmness that just kind of oozes out of him that I just think is perfect for a coach. I like it.
If you could see the look in your eyes, it looks like you want to suck his dick.
Well, I don't.
All right.
Well, also, how could you see my eyes? There's like a huge glare coming off my glasses.
Right. I can just tell the way you carry yourself, the way your mouth is like slightly open.
That's just kind of how I am generally.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So
I like the new hat, by the way.
Thanks.
Did you pick that up on your Nebraska trip?
Yeah. I needed a black and white hat because I don't wear a lot of red.
It's nice that you're not in the Rocky Mountains this time.
Oh, I know. Dude, that was impossible.
Yeah, it kind of worked the first time.
We were in like a more open area.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we just made that trip through the Rockies, so I get it. Like
it's cool.
You go through a stretch where you're like, man, I hope we don't get a flat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a cool drive, that's for sure. Man, we've gone minutes now without talking Husker football, which is normally understandable because we've lost a lot of times in recent years, but we actually won yesterday and looked pretty good doing it. Like, how'd you feel watching it?
It's so weird. I thought I've been in Nebraska for 3 weeks. I was like, oh yeah, LA, or I mean, 11 o'clock kickoff. And so I went to the gym and then I'm leaving like at 9:30 and I see you text Boodle. So I was like, oh fuck, it's 9 o'clock. Holy shit, I'm such an idiot. And then I rushed home and then I put it on like to restart from the beginning on Fox, but they had it shut off so I couldn't fast forward through the commercials. So I just said, fuck it, and went live because I didn't want to like be that far behind because I knew I'd be getting texts and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, my feed on my Roku was like, I think a solid 5 minutes behind everyone else. Twitter was telling me everything that was happening, even though I was watching it. But I think I texted you about this yesterday, that I don't know. It just felt like I learned a lot more about Adrian Martinez after he got benched and it was all good.
Yeah. I feel the same way.
He just seems like the real deal. There's a maturity about him. Like, you talk about Fred Hoiberg's like calmness under fire. And that's kind of what I get from Adrian Martinez too. I hope his shoulder's all right. But like the fact that he came back and led what ultimately was the clinching drive after being injured says something about that. If he can just remain healthy, I think he's going to lead a pretty damn good year next year. He's been through the fire. Like, it just feels like a redemptive story's coming at some point.
Well, and Scott made the same point, like during one of his press conferences where he said, I remember I got benched and then I got unbenched to a sea of boos. I came back after one game for a sea of boos or whatever. And that was the defining moment of my career. We all know what happened after that. And maybe that's what he was just trying to do. Put that same fire in his ass that was put into Frost's.
I think he was hoping to not have to make the change the first time. And I think he was hoping to not have to make the change the second time either. I think he just wants stability at that position. But I like Luke. I think he's a hell of an athlete. And I think he could potentially become a good quarterback. I don't know, but I think more than anything, he's an athlete. I think he's athlete more than quarterback. And
if he learns that, he'll go pro. And if he doesn't learn that, he'll play in Europe. Maybe.
I don't think there's an NFL Europe anymore.
Oh, really?
No.
Canada, he'll play in Canada.
Yeah, that's more likely.
He'll play arena football.
That's a possibility too. I mean, there are guys who've played quarterback their entire career and then eventually been other positions in the NFL. But yeah, it is, the offense has more than one dimension. I mean, you could see yesterday when Luke came in, and he did throw a pretty damn good pass over the middle, but like, they crowded the box so tightly when he was in there. They knew he wasn't going to throw many passes, and there's just an added dimension, especially when Adrian's playing with confidence. And yeah, that, I mean, I realize Purdue isn't great, but I mean, they beat an Iowa team that we couldn't.
Right.
And you know, they had Rondale Moore and David Bell out there. Like, I'm glad that they were playing. They did to themselves what Nebraska normally does to themselves, and you know, just played ugly. But I mean, you don't get less of a win by the team like committing 100 yards of penalties. We got the win, and like, the fact that they got close and then we hung tough, that felt different than the Penn State win. Like, we just hung on for dear life against Penn State. I think we actually counterpunched against Purdue yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, no, you know.
Okay.
With Penn State, the defense did fight. Gave up. The offense stopped like two touchdowns in the red zone, like on short fields. You know, the offense gave up. It's really.
Well, I also think, though, the defense played better late yesterday against Purdue than they did against Penn State. I mean, because the one long touchdown against Purdue was really just two guys colliding with each other. But like, there were some breakdowns against Penn State that were bad breakdowns. But not to counter your counter.
Right. That's true. Yeah, that's how I feel about the Purdue game. It's weird. Because I'm not convinced that Scott Frost is the answer anymore. But I am convinced that he's our only, like, you have to give him enough time, and that timeline's kind of hard to define and frame.
Yeah. Cause I mean, if he comes out next year, they play a full season and he wins three or four games, then you really do have to entertain some serious conversations. But like, right now, I mean, this is a weird season. Nebraska was in such shambles.
But it's going to affect two recruiting classes too.
I mean, it always will whenever you fire someone.
No. I'm saying this season, because we lost people that would be freshmen this year, because part of it, they may have left anyways, but being locked in a dorm room, not being able to go anywhere, not having the 90,000 fans in the stadium, not even really getting a real season. You know, whatever that made it hard. So, you know, that affected the last recruiting class, and then next year's recruiting class, like, we're not doing so hot. Not that we necessarily would have without COVID, but we aren't doing so hot, and you can't have anybody on campus to visit.
Yeah. And actually this recruiting class is pretty good considering, you know, that we've got our top guy on the board. In the boat, like, that's, but yeah, I get what you're saying, and it's it is a difference. I mean, because yeah, you see a team now with two wins and six tries. And yeah, you can't bring people into the atmosphere. And then, like you say, you kids can't even go to a movie theater or the mall. Scott Frost has talked about that.
Yeah.
And there's nothing.
People keep talking about how college kids can't go to the mall. I don't think college kids, like, they're like, you know, they can't go to the skating rink.
Can't
go to the candy store and get nickel candies.
Can't go to the drive-in movie theater.
Yeah.
Can't go up to Lookout Point. Can't go up to Lookout Point and make out.
Right. I don't, you know, but still, but yes, you're right.
I was borrowing from a Scott Frost quote, but
I know when he said, I thought as soon as he said that, I was like, they can't go to the mall. I've never seen a Husker player in the mall.
Hang on. You remember when Dominic Watt was in Lincoln that one time, after he signed with Nebraska, didn't academically qualify, had to go to JUCO, and then came to one of those Friday Night Lights events. He was looking for what to do in Lincoln, and he said he was hanging out at Gateway Mall. Do you remember that?
Yeah, because he was trying to get people to come see him, right?
And probably get laid.
But he was like 17, right?
He would have probably been 19 or 20.
Was he a JUCO transfer?
Yeah. Well, because he signed out of high school, but then didn't academically qualify, so he went down to one of those Kansas JUCOs.
Okay. Well, he's a weirdo. The exception proves the point, right? The exception proves the rule.
Sure. Thanks. We'll go with that. So I want to talk about, you just kind of said two things that I kind of want to talk about a little bit, and I'm trying to decide which one I want to talk about first. You mentioned one thing about like being unsure, because I feel like that conversation has come up a lot, and it's always like fire Frost, don't fire Frost. It's so like binary, but it's like, that's not the conversation. Like, it would be stupid right now. You just don't have that luxury. You like, it's frustrating to be like, oh, we have to wait potentially two more seasons to find out whether this works or doesn't work. Well, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, that is the case. Like, we will know at that point. Things will crystallize. We'll either have a couple more seasons that are unbearable and then we'll be rebuilding again, or we won't, or things will start to click. And I don't know. We've had some false starts in the last couple of years where you think, oh, maybe this team's starting to turn a corner. So I'm hesitant to say too much on that end of things. But I also think yesterday gave me a little bit of hope that a corner could be turned, you know, that maybe it's there. Maybe it's there to be had. I don't know. Did you feel that way? Or is it still just kind of like, we'll see.
Yeah, I think that it's silly to not look at things that are happening and be like, well, this is not what we were sold. This is not what we were told to expect. Right.
Well, but yes and no. I'll get to that.
There also was no COVID in there.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that this is, we were told it's going to be a long rebuild, but that by year three, you'd start to see some bounce back.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. It's just so, but we haven't seen it. But also it's COVID. But also it's not looking, I mean, talk to me again in January when I see what that recruiting class looks like.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely not on, like, if it was a stock, if Scott Frost was a stock, I would be on hold right now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be buying, but I certainly wouldn't be selling.
Yeah. I think that's the appropriate approach too.
And I think I'm willing to hold until 2024. And then at the end of 2024, I will decide what to do with my stock.
Year one and year two to me felt like they had the potential to basically be year one for like the equivalent of Scott Frost UCF year one. Like it felt like year one and year two at Nebraska had the potential to be that combination, like combined to be what was year one at UCF. But because what UCF did was they got blown out of a few games. They won some close ones too. And then that got them to a respectable improvement from what they were the year prior to Scott Frost arriving. Nebraska played plenty of close games and had a chance to do that very thing in those first 2 years, but just couldn't win any of those close games. Joe and I talked about that last week. Like I had like what our record was in one possession games, and it isn't great. Like if you just flip that just a little bit, I think then you start to see the positive momentum. And then I think you also start to see the conversation around Frost and his program nationally being a lot better. And then the things would probably be building toward a little something better this year. It's hard to say what would have happened this year necessarily, because it's just such a weird year, but just some missed opportunities in year one and year two to build some momentum just kind of are what have us in that stagnation point.
I think that based off of where we are right now, next year's year one, he's basically just stayed in year one for 3 years. And tomorrow, next year is still year one. And now, instead of having year one with all the hype and behind you and taking advantage of that, you kind of wasted all that. And now you're on year one in year four. And if you don't start to show progress, you're probably only going to get 3 more years, would be my guess. If you don't start to see true progress, and I think if you're not seeing 10 wins by year four, I think that there's going to be a lot of upset fans.
Well, I think you definitely get, so if you get 10 wins like next year, you've got a bunch of years.
Ready. Yeah.
10 wins is amazing. Next year.
No. I don't.
Oh, you're saying
year four, as in
year like seven.
Next year's year one. Yeah. And okay. I think that you should you better make a bowl game next year. That's the absolute minimum, but I think it should be 8 wins.
You can absolutely not have
a losing season,
four straight losing seasons. You just can't do that. And I don't I think at that point, I hate to say it because I don't want to have this conversation because A, it's premature and it hasn't happened yet, but also B, it's kind of a gross conversation to have. But if he has a losing record next year, that's 4 straight losing seasons. Mike Riley got fired after 3 seasons. Bill Callahan got fired after 4. Each of them had 2 losing seasons in that amount of time. If you have 4 and 4, then the conversation has to be had.
Yeah.
And
I think that anybody at that point, anybody would understand.
Yeah. Even the Matt Davisons of the world would not be able to dispute that, because that's a pretty long runway. Like people said, hey, if a big thing happens by year four, that's moving really fast. Okay. Correct. But staying in the mud and not having a winning record for 4 straight years, that's inexcusable. No matter who your coach is, no matter what their pedigree is, no matter where they came from. Like if you hired Nick Saban, if you hired Tom Osborne, if you hired Amon Green, no matter who you have in there, 4 straight losing seasons is not acceptable for a Big Ten program or a Power Five program. Purdue wouldn't allow that.
No job would allow whatever that version of is at that job.
Right.
And I think any coach, any, media outlet, any player, any AD, any common fan would understand at that point that something have to be done. It's not like all of a sudden he loses, has three losing seasons, then wins 10 games and then gets fired.
Right.
It's a pretty, you know, he won four, had four straight losing seasons. I still think you give him that fifth year.
I would be a little bit more reticent to do that. But I also think if there's a full 2021 season, which, you know, there's no reason to think that there wouldn't be at this point. I don't think that's going to be an issue. If it is, I think everyone would be brimming with just an incredible amount of disappointment. We would have a senior starting quarterback or someone who's unseated him. If next year doesn't get better, it's not going to get better in year five, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. It would all depend on the recruiting class.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think also it would depend on who's available and who we can get as a coach, because right. I think you hold on to Frost, even if he's losing, if it means just getting another Mike Riley or.
Well, or yeah, whatever. I mean, that's been the error of Nebraska so many times since the firing of Frank Solich. I don't think the error was firing Frank Solich. The error, and I've said this many times, the
error, it was when they fired him.
The error was the timing, and then like not having that shit locked up. Like, you have to know who your successor is and have that shit in the bag.
Yeah.
And that's where Steve Peterson screwed up. He screwed up with the timing and he screwed up with the replacement.
Yeah.
And honestly, if Callahan had hired a competent defensive coordinator, he would have probably gotten more than 4 years, because they were a competitive team at times.
Yeah. I mean, they won 10 games one season, second year.
Yeah. I mean, they made a Big 12 championship game. I think
in year two, right?
I think that was year three. Mm-hmm. That 10 years all blurring together now.
Yeah.
But, and if he had like played to win and not scared to lose, I think they had a real chance when they played at USC to win that game. The very next year, they got their doors blown off in Lincoln. But you know, they had bright flashes. But I mean, we're going down a rabbit hole now.
Yeah, but I think that if Scott Frost, at the end of the season, I think there's going to be some big moves. I think you're going to see a lot of players transfer. And I think you're going to see some coaches get fired. And if you don't, if you see players transfer and coaches not get fired, I think we're in for a long couple years. If you see neither happen, then I don't know. Then I'm neutral still. If you see players transfer and coaches get fired, then I'm curious.
I think the scenario there that scares me the most is players transferring and coaches getting fired, depending on how many are fired. If it's like a lot, and which ones?
Because honestly,
I'm fine with that.
Shenander. If you can get a world beater for a DC.
Yeah. I just don't want to see a big schematic change, because that's going to then be another rebuild year.
Unless it's to a 4-3, because you can make a 4-3 out of a 3-4.
Yeah. But I mean, we've got a lot of big guys that I don't know who would be our ends necessarily. Who would be dynamic ends in that. I'm growing to think this. I mean, this is our best defensive year so far. But yeah. I mean, how much of that is that a lot of teams are maybe a little bit rusty on offense. I don't know. I don't know who I would necessarily want to see on the chopping block. I mean, the D line is finally starting to look a little bit better, so I'm giving Tuioti a little bit of a reprieve. I haven't seen much out of him recruiting wise. I mean, there are some questions about Barrett Rood, although he doesn't do poorly on the recruiting trail. I don't know. The only two that I'm a little bit kind of, all right, this could maybe happen is Verduzco. And it's probably a little unfair, but Lubick, I haven't seen much out of so far this year, because
I don't think you can fire Lubick.
I don't think you can either, but like, it's more the wide receiver part of it than the offensive coordinator part of it.
Can we just hire a wide receiver coach? Can we get Keith Williams back? And have Lubick coach tight ends or some shit?
Well, you'd still have to get rid of somebody then to create room in the staff. Well, I don't want that because he's our tie to the South.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know who you get rid of.
We have two people coaching linebackers, which I realize, you know, the inside backers and the outside backers aren't exactly the same, but, you know, neither are defensive ends and defensive tackles. Those are different positions, and you've got one guy covering those. I feel like
who both is on linebackers?
We've got Rood on the inside linebackers and Dawson on the outside backers.
Dawson, that's right.
Who is kind of our recruiting connection to the Northeast.
Who gives a shit about the Northeast? Is Dawson?
Well, he's the one who got, like, who's gotten us in on, like, Jersey dudes like Ramir Johnson.
Oh yeah.
And Javonte Jean Baptiste, before Urban Meyer plucked him away at the last second. But yeah, no, he's pretty well connected up there.
How old is he?
That's a good question. I'm going to find that answer for you.
We should, because if he's old, we should get rid of him and find a new guy, a younger guy. No, we shouldn't. We should just fire him and get Keith Williams back and tell Rude, hey, bro, fucking get up to New Jersey. Start making friends.
Mike Dawson is older than I thought. He is 67.
Oh, I thought he was like 63.
And he was born in the UK. No, hang on, different guy. They have his picture next to him, but that's a different Mike Dawson. He is not 67. I don't know. I'll figure it out. So what was the next thing we were going to talk about? I forget. Oh yeah. So we were talking about, players leaving. Do you think that's primarily COVID based, that like no one can go do anything? And this is a strange place to be this time of year if you're from Florida, and there's nothing to do, no fans to make you feel great. You can't really go out and do anything. Is it that? Do you think it's a connection issue with the staff? Like, what do you think it is?
Well, I mean, it's definitely a connection issue with the staff because they weren't really here long enough to have any actual real bond with anybody. But that being said, I think it's a little bit of COVID and a little bit of losing.
Yeah.
You know, if we're winning, they stay.
Yeah.
But if there's no COVID, they may also stay. Because they may have got to practice. They may have got some pussy. They may have. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Yeah. No, that's a huge. I mean, like, I the thing is, Nebraska is not the only program experiencing this right now. And I think everyone kind of anticipated this as we went into a weird season. And it would probably be worse if Nebraska weren't playing any games right now. Like, if Nebraska were sitting on the sideline, well, you know, I think we'd see probably double the transfers we've seen.
If what? Explain that again.
If Nebraska hadn't played any games this year, like it looked like was potentially
the case. Oh, yeah, for sure. I think you're right. Because they would have just all gone to SEC. Well, we had a lot of transfers of the good players. They'd have all gone to SEC schools or Big 12 schools.
Yeah.
Or ACC schools.
By the way, Dawson's about 45.
Really? I thought he was older.
Nah. Because he graduated.
It's that mustache.
Mustache?
Who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of Becton. Does Becton have a mustache?
Not that I'm aware of. Dawson graduated, or his last year at UMass was like 97 as a player. Becton has a little bit of a mustache. I don't know how old he is. About 4 years older than Dawson, it looks like.
Is Mike Dawson a white dude?
Yeah.
That's not who I'm thinking of.
You are probably thinking of Becton.
Yeah.
Becton does look a little older.
Okay.
He's got a little gray in his mustache.
Mike Dawson's the guy that went to the Giants, right?
Yeah, now you're getting it.
Yeah, but the funny thing is the whole time I thought, from when he was here to when he left to while he was coaching the Giants, I thought he was a black dude. And then he came back and I was like, oh, that's what Mike Dawson looks like? Who the fuck am I picturing in my head?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I should figure that out.
Yeah. Well, maybe you were thinking of Jovan DeWitt.
No, more stoic.
Okay.
Think the cop from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, like the chief.
Andre Brower's character.
The gay.
Yeah. Raymond Holt. There we go.
Yeah. That's who I picture in my head, basically with a mustache.
Okay. I think you might be thinking of Sean Becton then. I can kind of see that. He's got a little Andre Brower look to him.
Okay. Cool. Good. Yeah. We did it. We solved it.
Yeah. So what do you think the solution is? Just sign as many kids as possible and hope for as many to stick, and then just do that every year, knowing that like we're gonna see half a dozen depart every year, or what?
I don't know enough about the situation to know what the solution is.
That's the thing.
Like, I don't know. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like a couple things. One, as fans, you don't know enough about the situation to really make an educated guess. So shut the fuck up. And two, for the people that keep asking, like, on Twitter, like, what's this? If you notice a problem, what's the solution? The other answer to that is like, it's not my job to come up with a solution. It's their job.
Yeah. Also,
so maybe the solution is get people that are better at player management. I don't know. And I don't know what the solution is.
By the way, you bring me to a point that I've been wanting to say for a long time. We don't know what the fuck the deal is with Omar Manning. We're not in the locker room. We don't go to practices. Like, I don't mean to sound like an asshole, but if I get asked one more time what the deal is with Omar Manning, I'm going to lose my shit.
Yeah. I'll tell you what the deal is with Omar Manning. He's not playing for the Huskers. Clearly.
Yeah.
They brought him in. So he's they brought him in. They gave him a chance. He didn't do well, and we haven't seen him since. Either he's not good enough, or he's a prick.
Or he's injured,
or he had COVID. I mean.
Or he's dealing with personal issues.
Or he's, sure. Maybe those personal issues are that he's a prick.
I don't know. I mean, none of us knows. It could be any number of things.
Yeah, but the answer is definitely that he does not play for the Huskers, at least not this year. Like, he plays for us. He's on the team, but he doesn't play on the field for us.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. There's your answer.
Honestly, Xavier Betts is kind of a younger version of him right now anyway. I'm a better version. I'm fine seeing a whole bunch of Xavier Betts.
Yeah, he plays great. He's great.
By the way, for as hard as I've been on Wyatt Lewer this year, that was a real pretty play with him with that touchdown yesterday. That was the one where you texted me all excited.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he played well yesterday. The wide receiver core looked as good as they've looked yesterday. And I think maybe they're just starting to figure out who they trust and who they don't. I mean, we had so many new bodies that that's going to probably take a minute, especially when there's no spring ball, a real brief fall ball. Like, it's just going to be what it is, I guess.
Yeah. Taylor Britt is the shit.
Oh my God. I hope he's back next year.
Yeah, I hope so too. I think he will be.
He's putting some killer NFL highlight reel together.
That deflection he made yesterday.
He did. He had two of them like that yesterday.
I may have missed one.
And then he had one against Penn State that was almost exactly like that too. That, like, the athleticism and the timing and the smarts that all go into making that happen and just like feel for the game. That's unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is a pretty damn good DB.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
A few issues with special teams this year, but hell of a DB.
He wouldn't be playing special teams in the NFL.
Well, I mean, if he did rookie year, maybe if he's not starting.
But he wouldn't be returning punts. Isn't he returning punts?
Yeah, mostly because he's like sure-handed.
Nah, he wasn't sure-handed yesterday.
Well, it wasn't yesterday where he did that. That was against Iowa.
Oh, was it?
Yesterday was him running into a Purdue kick returner, although I think he got blocked into the returner.
I mean, yes, but also he could have gone to the other side too.
Yeah. But yeah, the muffed punt was Iowa, which was not at a good time. But I mean, what I love about him too, though, is he cares. He gives a shit. And that's what leads me to believe maybe he'll be back next year. I mean, it all depends on what kind of advice he gets and, you know, what he's projected at as a pick. But I don't know. It'd be really nice if he came back to try and make himself a first rounder.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, shit. The guys who are supposed to step in to the secondary next year, we had two of them go down yesterday because Nadab Joseph and Miles Farmer. When will someone force Purdue to fix that fucking field? That's the field where DeMorne Pearson-L stepped on a sprinkler and ended a season. Like, other teams have had dudes get injured on that field. Like, it's apparently a mess. Like, Ross-Ade Field or Stadium, whatever it's called, just needs to get its shit together and never be a Big Ten stadium again. That's my take.
Yeah. I think we should kick out Purdue from the Big Ten.
Okay. And I mean, they're a pretty good basketball school.
And trade them for Colorado?
No.
Who do you want to beat the shit out of every year?
Well, I would love to beat the shit out of Colorado every year, but I mean, yeah, just Purdue,
Oklahoma.
Okay. I mean, I don't know that either of those schools fits the Big Ten academic model, but yes, I would be into playing old Big Eight opponents every year. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've run out of things to talk about,
Pat. You mean four straight yes from each of us is your indicator.
Exactly.
There are more things, but yeah, it feels like we've gotten through it all. Like, I don't know. It was nice to A, have a win to talk about, and B, talk to you about it.
Oh yeah, I know. It's been weird, man. Oh, you want to hear a crazy thing?
Yeah.
So the owner of my gym, Coach Ant, challenged me $1,000. He bet me $1,000 that I couldn't go an entire year sober.
Okay.
So starting January 1st, I have to go sober for an entire year or pay this dude $1,000.
Whoa. You've done the year sober challenge and made it a long way, but never made the year. But I feel like with $1,000 on the line,
that'll change it. Yeah. I think the longest I've gone is like 11 months or 10 and a half months or something.
I felt like it was like September where
it might've been because of the football season actually.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I think what I did was I made an adjustment where it was like, I can drink during Husker games.
Yeah. Cause you've done that a couple times since I've been out in LA.
Yeah.
Like right after I moved out to LA, I was like, oh man, it'll be nice to go to the bar with you. And you're like, about that.
Yeah. It's good every once in a while to take some time off.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll let you get back to your Sunday and, maybe we start a winning streak this week. Maybe. I want to beat PJ.
Yeah, I do too.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you then. Hopefully it's after a win.
Yeah, no shit. Follow us on Facebook /Big Red Cobcast.
Nope.
/Cobcast.
Yep.
Follow us on Twitter @Big Red Cobcast.
Yep.
Patreon.com/Big Red Cob.
Oh yeah. Cast. You nailed it. Yep.
Boom. Fatty rides the bus.
Fatty rides the bus.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at huskerfilm.com.